Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to an hour of mind power. And we're going to be buzz. We're going to be talking about bees this afternoon. And it's just a delight to have a very fine gentleman, John Penberthy, who has put together one of the most charming books I've read. It's called To Be or Not to Be, and it's B-E-E. So we're going to be talking about those wonderful little critters of nature that really had something special, and we'll be discussing his story. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donna.
I have to say that your story was so charming, and that this book is a book that could be shared with anyone of any age. I think the art in it is just so exceptionally well done. You have Lori Barrows, who is an award-winning artist that did the illustration. It's almost like Oriental art. It's just this stroke that allows the mind to create the image of the picture without a lot of busyness, without a lot of noise. It's just exquisitely done.
Yeah, thank you very much.
John, you have an interesting background, and I wanted to share that with my listeners. You say that you got your introduction to conscious awareness from being stung by a bee at the age of one, which I thought was interesting. Now, you're a man. You've got an MBA. You have done market and economic research consulting for all kinds of businesses in the Rocky Mountain region. And then you found that your life was, well, sort of at a slow nothing. You just really were burned out. You took a year off, got involved in your own spiritual journey. Then you made a trip to India, met Sai Baba, and you got this story after that.
Yes.
And you have been involved with a vitamin A fortification blindness prevention project for the Helen Keller International in Indonesia, and you've managed the Cache River Bio Reserve for the Nature Conservancy. You have had quite a unique life. In writing this book, what was the greatest gift that it gave to you?
This book came to me in a meditation. And as you mentioned, I went to visit Sai Baba, and about 2 weeks after returning from my visit to him, I was meditating one morning, and it was just like a computer download, just zap, the whole story was right there. So, I'd like to take personal credit for it, but it was really just for me, it was just a question of sort of getting out on paper what had been downloaded into my mind. And it was the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my life. It was just every day when I'd sit down at the computer and crank out another chapter or two, it would just be just total joy. So I feel very blessed.
With this journey, and so many of my listeners, they have their challenges that they're facing. You decided, because of this, I'll call it a blahness that was in your life, that you knew you had to look for something more. What was it that made you alert to the particular journey that you took to India? What was it that made you aware that this was something that was very significant for you? Because I've known of people that have gone to India that have come back and just totally disillusioned because they did not see what they had hoped to see.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I've been doing the consulting work for a little over a decade, and And it was, you know, it was lucrative, and at first I enjoyed it, but it just got to be kind of tedious after a while, and I was starting to lose interest in it, and I thought, boy, I've got to do something else here, but I didn't know what it would be. And, you know, the first step to solving any problem is to become aware of the problem. And so I started to become aware of the problem, and, you know, just through a series of coincidences, met a fellow who was going to be going to India. And I had, at that time, gotten involved with A Course in Miracles, which has had a very profound impact on my life. And he asked me if I wanted to go with him, and so it was just perfect. And I had some very unusual things happen, which sort of confirmed my decision to go visit Sai Baba. And that was, I don't know if your listeners are aware, but Sai Baba materializes things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, his sort of trademark that he materializes many times every day is this, what's called vibhuti, which is a sort of sweet-smelling ash. And the ash signifies the impermanence of things, and the sweetness signifies the beauty of life. And so when my friend first invited me to visit Baba, I bought a book on him. And as I was reading the book in my living room, all of a sudden, this sweet-smelling scent started emanating from the book. And I didn't, at that time, didn't know what the vibhuti was, and I thought, what the heck is going on here? And I went down to the bookstore and smelled the other books on the shelf about Sai Baba, and they did not smell that way. And that subsequently happened with another book and also a videotape that I bought on him. So that to me was a very powerful indication that I should go over and spend some time with him.
That's what you did, and the events evolved with this wonderful story took place, and you said it was sort of like you were in a download mode, that your computer got turned on mentally, and it just started going into Word and letting you have everything that you needed to have.
That's
and
right.
I think that's such a very good description, because I have known authors, including myself, that has happened to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if something just pours into you, sort of shakes you up, and
yes.
you cannot help but get up and write it down. You
exactly.
have to do it. You cannot not do it. It's,
that's right.
It's
You're
just an amazing
compelled.
Experience. But I wanted you to share that with my audience, because I think it's important when an author has such a good work as you have here. And this is the type of story that you can go back and reread. As I said, I think it's for any age. I think you could read this to a young person, a child, and they would just
yeah.
love it.
Yeah.
Because your character has such a wonderful name. It's Busby.
Right.
I mean, it's just wonderfully, wonderfully harmonious. So you have this wonderful, wonderful character. And Busby is a question. You say it emulates your life's journey, really, a lot of what you've gone through. Busby was very curious. You're a curious person yourself, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yep. My mother used to say that, or still says, she's still around, actually, and that I was curious from the time I was born, you know, just always wanting to check things out. And I guess I consider that one of my prized possessions, my curiosity.
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful position to have, and I think that when that can be encouraged in a young person, it gives them a gift for the rest
yeah.
of their lives,
yeah.
where they will always ask questions and want to know and explore and have a sense of adventure. And that is the characterization that you gave to Busby, the primary character in your book, and right off the bat, Buzz is always in some kind of trouble. He's always going into situations, and people just don't understand why he doesn't want to get with the clan, why
yeah.
he doesn't want to follow the group. Was that a challenge you had in your own life?
Oh, absolutely, for sure, yeah. It was, you know, Buzz is a fairly disillusioned a young bee. I mean, he's a kind of guy that pays very close attention to things, and he doesn't understand why everyone in the hive is so jacked up about, you know, zooming off and collecting honey and nectar and bringing it back and building a bigger hive. And, you know, he feels like, geez, why don't we just sort of slow down a little bit here and enjoy life a little bit more? And so the story is basically a story about his spiritual exploration and awakening. And as you know from having read the book, it incorporates a lot of the things that happen in the life of a honeybee, you know, things like, dramatic things like, you know, thunderstorms and hailstorms and bear raids, and along with, you know, the more mundane things of just building a hive and foraging. And so it's, but it definitely very much parallels what I went through, and writing it was a very good teaching experience for me.
I think that's what writing brings as its own gift,
yeah,
is that very aspect.
Yeah.
Writing is a form of self-teaching.
Yes.
I really think it is. You have here that one of the things that bothered Buzz is there was an unspoken yet driving force that seemed to rob the workers of life. How many times do we hear people say that they're on a treadmill or they feel,
yeah,
like they're stuck, they just can't go anywhere? So these are things that you're identifying with, and of course I'm just sort of going through it lightly because I would want people to be able to read it for themselves and to savor and enjoy the entire story. The one thing again is Buzz's curiosity. And somebody is always after him because he's not satisfied with anything that's around him. But he really likes to look and likes to explore. And his whole society that he's involved with is very, very industrious. I mean, they've got their jobs. They've got their clocks. They've got all kinds of things that they've got to follow. And when you don't do it exactly like everybody else does, then again, you're an outsider.
Yep.
And that's pretty hard because he doesn't like being an outsider,
yet
he is one.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that Buzz, one of the thoughts that he has, of course he never says to anyone because nobody would understand, but, you know, why does everybody have to be so up all the time? You know, it's like everybody's sort of putting on this big act and going about their work, but no one's ever vulnerable, no one's ever sad or down. Everybody's, you know, or if they are, they just keep it to themselves. But, you know, Buzz does have times of sadness and times of feeling down, and he wonders, you know, what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling this way? So that is sort of the motivating force behind his journey, behind his spiritual journey.
In part of his questioning, he has a conversation when his fellow bees are making a lot of fun of ants. And I love this. I just thought this was wonderful. They're making a lot of fun of ants. And he said, well, why are you making fun of them? Why is it you're putting them down? And his response is, their response is, well, we're a lot bigger than they are. We're smarter than they are. We're this, we're that, we're the other. And his comment is, science doesn't mean anything. It's all relative. He has a whole different perspective,
yeah,
than the rest of his cronies, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you mentioned children would enjoy having this book read to them, you know, in our promotional materials, we sort of say that this. I have to say that I did not write the book specifically for kids. I mean, as you know, having read the book, there's a lot of wit and sort of cleverness and spiritual sophistication that would go right over the heads of little kids. But I have gotten a lot of feedback from parents and grandparents as well, who have told me that they just loved reading the book to their kids. And, you know, of course, the kids love the illustrations of those Chinese watercolor style illustrations, and as well as they get the story at their own level. You know, wherever they are, they get the story at their own level.
Mm-hmm.
I first read this to my daughter when she was 5, and she definitely got it at her level. And, you know, she laughed and cried, and, you know, I knew I was onto something when I could touch her at that level. So, yeah.
I say don't underestimate children and their capability of being able to absorb information. Because when I came out with my children's book and I was sitting in front of 3- and 4-year-olds reading And I had been criticized because I'd been told that some of my words were too sophisticated. And I see these kids in their eyes, and they understood every word I was saying.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes. So we don't put down children. They don't need to have Jane sees Dick run 3 miles an hour. They don't need that kind of stuff.
No.
What they need is to be exposed to it. And I think that's a wonderful thing about your book. You're not using highfalutin words.
No.
And like you said, you've got great illustrations. But I really like the guy, Bert. This is another bee. And he's a lot like Buzz, but he's a mature bee. And they become pretty good friends, don't they?
Yeah. There's a saying that, your perfect teacher arrives at the perfect time. And just when Buzz is feeling like, it's hopeless and it's like he's just going to have to live out the rest of his life being different and weird and strange and nobody understands him, Bert appears in his life. And Bert is an older bee who's been around the block a few times. He's missing one of his antenna. But Bert understands Buzz, and he's been there himself. And he sort of serves as a guide or a mentor for Buzz. And as you saw when you read the book, the book is peppered with lots of spiritual aphorisms.
Mm-hmm.
And, life is a journey from I to we. Incidentally, that's one that came right off of a sign in Sai Baba's ashram. Life is too important to be taken so seriously. Bert serves as a guide for Buzz, and suddenly Bert or Buzz feels like it's not hopeless after all. There is somebody who understands me, and maybe there's hope after all. So a lot of the book, probably the first half of the book, is about their relationship and about the teachings that Bert relays to Buzz, and then how they play out in the life of the colony and in Buzz's life in particular.
I really enjoyed one of your paragraphs in the conversation between the mature honeybee Bert and the younger bee Buzz. And Bert says to Buzz, don't be so concerned about what the other bees think, because they're doing what feels right to them just as you are. Try to be more understanding. The power of the mind lies in perceiving differences. The power of the heart lies in perceiving similarities. You have to determine which power you're going to use. And don't be so worried about what they think of you. They've got different priorities, and if you spend your life trying to please them, you'll be miserable. Just do your part and let your life, not your words, influence them. And I'll repeat what you just said. Life is a journey from I to we. I think that is one of the most difficult areas for most people to get to, because there is an indoctrination, I don't care what your culture is,
mm-hmm.
that you should fit in. I mean, I've seen this in cultures all over the world.
Yep.
When you are a person that feels differently, thinks differently, sees things differently, it takes quite a bit of courage to be able to walk your own road.
It does, absolutely. And when you do walk that path, it's certainly not going to be all joy and happiness, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a very difficult path, and there can be a lot of pain and suffering along the way. In fact, I think that's almost inevitable. I know it certainly was for me. But gradually over a period of time, if you're true to yourself, you learn some big lessons from that. You eventually learn to become who you really are, which is really what the whole book is about in terms of Buzz's quest.
And I really like those words, let your life, not your words, influence them. Because it's by what you do.
Yeah.
The old adage, what you say speaks so loudly that I can't hear your words.
Yeah.
So I really think that there's a lot that's to that. And then you go into quite a discourse where he's asking a lot of spiritual questions. And the more Buzz buzzes around and chats and integrates with people, he finds this person's got this attitude and the other person's got the other attitude. And he just is totally confused. He just absolutely can't accept or buy into what other people are telling him are the absolutes. In fact, he is I think that signature part of the inner self of all of us says, be your own person. And yet we say, how can we? I want to be a part of the group. I want to have friends. I want to be comfortable, and yet I'm not comfortable when I'm supposed to be comfortable, and yet I'm not comfortable in my own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a challenge. It really
is. It very much so is a challenge, yes.
And that's what you bring out, is that we have to be willing to investigate ourselves, have our own courage, be able to be true to what we feel is really right for us without, you know, harming or doing anything to anybody else, but just focusing on discovering ourselves. And that is a major journey.
Yeah.
And he asked, this I thought was very good. Buzz asked Bert in your book, in part of the story, he said, you seem to be so peaceful. You seem to be so at home in your own skin. And those are my words. But what Bert tells him is that it's not happiness as much as it is the peace, the inner peace that it comes from accepting everything just the way it is. Not trying to change it, not trying to restructure it or mold it differently, but understanding what his place is in it and being at peace with that.
Yes.
Man alive, that is really a hard step for anybody to do.
It's a very hard step. And, you know, there's another one of the aphorisms that Bert passes along to Buzz is perfection isn't some state of affairs, it's a state of mind. And, you know, we all have our ideas of what would make our lives absolutely perfect. You know, if more money or a new wife or, you know, fancier car or a bigger house or, you know, world peace, whatever. And, but, you know, the truth is that from the divine perspective, life here on earth and everywhere in the universe is and always has been absolutely perfect. And so my feeling is that our real job is not to try to change all those outer things. And that's not to say that that might not be something you would want to do in your life, but that our real job is to try to get a grasp on that divine perspective, on trying to assume that divine perspective. You know, because once you've been around for a few decades, you realize, you know, as soon as one problem gets solved, another one pops up. But if you can assume that divine perspective, over time, you move into a place of, you know, equanimity or contentment or inner peace. And I think that's the real goal. That's the real goal, because we're never going to change the world to fit our preconceived notions.
One sentence I really liked is, the denser we are, the harder the lessons. Density is prevalent, isn't it?
yes, it is. Just when you think that the world is making progress, you know, we seem to experience these setbacks, and it's like, oh my gosh, okay, what's the perfection in that? Let me see if I can, embrace that one too.
Yes, and I like how you say every incident that occurs, and this is from the wise Bert B., carries with it potential lessons, and lessons are the flip side of experience. Learning is what got us this far and what will take us wherever we are going. And isn't that the truth? I've always wondered why we have this drive sometimes to make life so that we don't have any experiences. And it would be perfect if we didn't have them. And the truth is, we are all sculpted and molded by the experiences that we go through, good, bad, and indifferent. And it's a challenge to be able to acknowledge and recognize that wonderful side of us that can take it and put it into use.
Yes.
Like you have with your story.
Yeah.
You were able to tell your life story in a way that comes through in this book and pass along your wisdom. This is, I think, part of a legacy that you're leaving, that you're going to have to share with people when, you know, long, long, long after, you know, many, many years from now, this little
bee story will be
floating around.
That's my hope. You know, we all are trying to make our contributions, and One thing that's been very gratifying about this book is that it's now been published in 11 languages.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's, it's just been, you know, of course, when you start to write a book, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think it's great, but you don't know if the rest of the world is going to think it's great. And, but, you know, it's, so it's around, it's spreading around the world now, and that, to me, is deeply gratifying.
That's the beauty of a story, and you've done a wonderful job with it. Now, Bert has some very wise sayings throughout the book as he interacts with Buzz. He says, no matter where you go, there you are. The only way out is in. And Buzz realizes that Bert's doing a lot of good for him, but Bert said his job is to help Buzz find his own answers. So Bert is an interesting teacher. He shares what he knows, but he wants Bert to find the answers for himself that really suit his life and his need to express himself.
Yeah, and who he really is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think we all have a tendency to see people that we admire, and I certainly have mentors in my life who I admire, and I've had the thought in the past, boy, I'd really like to be like them. But you know, that would be a lie, because in truth, my goal is to be like me, is to realize who I am to the fullest degree, and that's sort of the way that Bert teaches Buzz.
Yes, and Bert said, life is too important to be taken so seriously. Just to remember to laugh, to remember, okay, now Buzz goes on a journey. He finally takes himself off into an adventure where he encounters mountains and snow and wind. He goes to elevations that other bees are afraid to follow because it's unknown territory. And he does it. And he does it in part because Bert says, why not? Why not try it?
Right, right.
And
if that's what you're drawn
it.
To, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there is a special situation with Bert, a special ending there. But Buzz finds that nobody's interested in what he has to say until certain circumstances turn around. And by golly, everything that he has learned, everything that he has seen, there finally is the open door of opportunity to pass what he knows along to other people, and they're open and receptive to him. And that is a wonderful, wonderful part of your story, because to me, it symbolizes the fact that there is a time for things. Sometimes you have a concept, you can be 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, maybe 50 years ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and again, it's more about your actions speaking louder than your words. And, Buzz doesn't proselytize, he doesn't try to shove anything down anyone's throat, but he just offers a suggestion. And all of a sudden, light bulbs go off in the rest of the colony.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Right time, right place, and being
exactly.
prepared. All of those things together.
Yeah.
John, your story, To Be or Not to Be, I think, would just make a fabulous gift for someone. And if someone's going through some challenges, some difficult times, what a wonderful gift to give them.
Yeah.
And with kids, as we've discussed a couple of times during our conversation, kids just take to this. They absolutely love it. And what a wonderful reading tool it would be for them as well, along with the beautiful artwork. This is a book for beings, B-E-E-I-N-G-S, who feel there's more to life than just making money. John, we're out of time just about. What's your website?
The website is www.2bbook.com. And I might also add that the book is available in all the Barnes & Noble stores as well as on Amazon.com.
Absolutely. It has been a delight, John, having you as a guest today. This wonderful book, To Be or Not to Be, and that's B-E-E. Yes, the busy bees. And you can go to his website, tobebook.com, and you'll find all kinds of wonderful information. John, you've got something here that I think is going to enrich people's lives for a long time.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. It's been a delight.
Likewise.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. We've got more good things to share with you. Remember this book for beings who feel there's more to life than just making money. To Be or Not to Be, John Penberthy, P-E-N-B-E-R-T-H-Y. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to chat with me today. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. Now, you can call in on any one of those numbers if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, and I'd be glad to do it. All I need is your first name or your initial, and then after that, I'll give you what I perceive. Very simple, very easy, lots of fun. Also, I wanted to let you know that we've got some special things that are coming up. Next week, I'm going to be broadcasting live from Fairbanks and Anchorage, Alaska. And if any of you who are listening would like to have time with me while I'm up in the far north, then by golly, all you have to do is call my office, 800-872-8852. You can also go into my newsletter and you can find contact numbers for me while I'm up in Alaska, because I will be doing private sessions with people. And on the 27th of this month, which is a Saturday, I'm going to be at the Boeing Parapsychology Expo in Kent, Washington. This one-day event is very special. It's a great group of people, lots of things going on, and that one-day event is just loaded with all kinds of activities, and I'll have a chance to interact, and I'm going to be interact with you doing many consultations, and I'm going to be doing so many things while we're there, and I'll also have all kinds of books that are just going to be a delight if you would like to be able to get them. And then in October, there is going to be, again, the microphone traveling to San Francisco to the Wisdom Festival. Boy, this is such a special event. It's a three-day event, and I participated in it last year, was able to interview some of the speakers that came in from different parts of the country, so that you get a taste for the event and all of the wonderful activities, servers, and vendors that you're going to have a chance to interact with. So those of you that are listening from the northern area of California and anyone else that might happen to be in the San Francisco area, during the 17th, 18th, and 19th of October, the Wisdom Festival is being held at Fort Mason, And it is going to be an event that's going to keep you hopping the whole time you are there visiting, and you're not going to want to miss it. Also, you will be able to go in to my website, peruse through the newsletter. You can get a lot of details, but if you go to wisdomfestival.com, you'll get all of the details, information that you'll want to have, times, listings of speakers, including myself, all kinds of people. And if you happen to be there, be sure you stop by and say hello, because I'd love to meet you. I really enjoy doing these public activities because it gives me a chance to meet so many of you who listen to the shows, and it's been fun because some of the authors that I've interviewed through the years, through the 7 years I've had my show, they will see me at these different events, and they'll come up and they'll reminisce about what we did on the air and how much they enjoyed it, and we'll talk about different things. Sometimes they have new projects, but it's always a delight. So go to my website. Go into the newsletter section. If you didn't get a copy of my newsletter, you'll be able to download it for free, and you'll have all of the information on my schedule and my itinerary. So if you happen to be in the areas that I'm in, I would be delighted if you'd come by and say hello and let me know what you think about the show and just have a chance to chat. It's always good to do that. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you would like for me to give you a reading today, 877-876-5227, also 888-815-9756. Now, I have got a recipe here for an antipasto salad that I thought you would just really like. You know, as long as we've still got summer, we want to be able to enjoy so much of this. But these are things any time of the year that are really quick and easy to fix, and, oh, they are just so very, very good. So if you'll get a pad of paper and a pen handy, then I'll be sharing that with you. Also, if I have time, I'll share with you this wonderful recipe, if you want to get decadent, for a chocolate chunk apricot pie. Yeah, good stuff. So anyway, that's going to be coming up, and I'm going to want to share that with you. But in the interim, while you're getting that pad of paper, I came across, and I'm putting this information together right now. I've got my notes in front of me. I came across some interesting information for people that have breathing problems. And this came out of a publication called Seattle Metropolitan. And it is, to me, such a joy when I learn about the strides that are being made in the area of wellness. And I'm not against doctors. I'm not against Western medicine. I am for anything that is going to bring wellness to anyone. Now, we have to discriminate, and we have to think. We're all individuals. They haven't gotten to a point yet where they analyze us on an individual basis, but that's coming. And as that evolves, we're going to see wellness going forward in strides. We're going to learn how to take care of ourselves more effectively and efficiently, understanding our own particular chemistry. And everything's chemistry, everything. Whether it is your tabletop computer or it is food that's on a table, it is all chemistry. We're always dealing with this phenomenon of various components, elements, substances, and if you have something that's not harmonious with your body, it's not going to work. So when we become educated, we become educated about what is going to work best for us. Some people can have tomatoes. I have a girlfriend, she loves tomatoes, she can't eat them. If she eats them, she breaks out in a rash. So her system is not compatible with that. We call it an allergy. Well, perhaps. Some situations, some people can eat foods a certain way and another way they can't. Why? Boils down to chemistry. Well, I keep my eyes open for different details, different points of information, and I came across this that was written by Jessica Volker, and she said in 2009 there is going to be something brought out that's very significant. It's called a breath saver, and I have some very dear friends that have emphysema, and do you know that over 4 million people in America suffer from this? And to date, there's really been very little they've been able to do relative to it. It is totally destructive to the lungs. And you'll see people that have emphysema walking around with those oxygen tanks, and fortunately they have those today because there was a time when they didn't have that. So it was a very, very difficult, painful disease to deal with. Now, Spiration is a company that's owned by a Port Orchard engineer, Cliff Alfernus. And what he's done, this was an area of interest for him. He has invented a tiny device that they believe will hugely improve the outlook for the people that suffer from this disease. And I can tell you that, again, I have friends that have it, and I know how difficult it is for them because they can't get enough oxygen. They are literally drowning little by little, cell by cell. Now, the current understanding in clinical trials about this is that this valve that Cliff has designed redirects patients' airflow away from the damaged portion of their lungs and towards the healthy parts. And what they are hoping to see with the clinical trials is that it will enable people to breathe easier and live longer and more comfortably. Now, there is a website regarding this. If you have a loved one, a friend that is going through this, you might want to check this website out. And it's spiration.com, spiration.com. So that's one item that I came across. And then this other I thought was really neat, and this is by Ben Schock. He said, do you remember back in 1998 when Jerry Nielsen, a snowbound physician working at a remote research station on the South Pole, performed a biopsy on herself after finding a lump in her breast? Do you remember reading or hearing about that? Well, I do. Now, in the future, this kind of a scenario is not going to be unusual. Why? Well, there's doctors Blake Hannaford and Jacob Rosen at the University of Washington's Biorobotics Lab, and they've been working very, very closely with surgeons to try to develop and engineer robots that will safely carry out surgical procedures guided by a doctor thousands of miles away, and they've been working on this for years. In fact, I can remember seeing a program, goodness, it's about 2 or 3 years ago, where a doctor in the U.S. was actually robotically doing a surgery in another country. Fascinating stuff. And he was viewing a television screen. Think of how many doctors today are doing surgeries because the instruments that they have are doing such delicate work. They put cameras inside of you, and the cameras are showing them how to do this work. And they've got special glasses that they look through. I mean, this is highly sophisticated. So via the Internet, the hospital-bound surgeon would be able to connect to anywhere in the world where on-the-ground robots would perform the actual incisions. Now, if you want to check this out, you can go to brl.ee.washington.edu. That's brl.ee.washington.edu. And it brings to mind something. Do you remember Star Wars, the movie? Well, remember when Luke had his hand cut off? Now, they had a scene there where he had lost his hand, and a robot in that movie was performing a surgery. And how old is this movie? What, 20 years old? Something like this. It may be older than that. I don't know. Could be 30 years old. I don't know. But in that movie, there is a robot that is doing surgery and restores Luke's hand. Sci-fi is coming around. Ah, yes. Don't you love it? Don't you love it, the fact that somebody has an idea, a conception of what could be? They put it out there, and then it ends up being manifested. It would really, really be something. If you don't believe me, watch one of the Star Wars movies. You'll see the scene. It's really great. Anyway, those are just a couple of items that I wanted to share with you, and we're getting ready to go on break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat with me. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Also 530-876-3222. I will give you that recipe for an antipasto salad tossed. And if we have time, that chocolate apricot pie. Donna Sebo here. Quickly, before we go on break, Francis Yate and the Hermetic Tradition. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. this is some of the forerunning detail and information that this woman, this scholar that was recognized around the world, was able to share with us, and we're going to find out how much of metaphysics developed because of that. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I promised you an antipasto salad recipe, and here it goes. It is so delicious. Being of Italian background, antipastos were very much a part of my family's meals, especially when there was a big get-together. And what does it usually consist of? Well, cheeses, salamis, olives, different kinds of vegetables that are marinated. I mean, it's just anything goes in an antipasto. And it is absolutely delightful. You serve it with fresh bread, maybe some garlic bread or what have you, or crackers, whatever is your pleasure. Well, this salad, I think, is just really, really good. It is so easy, and it's something that's tangy and flavorful, and you can have it anytime, and it's going to really be very, very satisfying because you have all of these wonderful, wonderful flavors mingling. Now, this is what you need. You need a quarter of a cup of olive oil, two tablespoons of red wine vinegar, You need a teaspoon of Dijon mustard, a quarter of a teaspoon of salt and of pepper, Also, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh or 1 teaspoon of dried basil. The fresh is absolutely preferable, but if you don't have that, use the dried. You need a package of your Italian salad blend with romaine and radicchio. Yes, that salad mixture is just perfect for this. And just a 10-ounce portion, because this is going to serve maybe 4 people. If you're really hungry, it can serve 2. Now, you want 6 whole-grained pepperoncini, and those are the spicy green peppers there. You're going to need 2 ounces of deli-mixed pitted olives, about 1/3 cup. Then you want about 1/2 cup of your jarred mixed pickled vegetables, and you just drain those, and it's about 1/2 cup of that. And then 4 ounces of your favorite deli-sliced provolone cheese, and you just have that crosswise. And then 2 ounces of your deli-sliced hard salami, sliced crosswise. Of course, what you do, you mix your oil, your vinegar, your mustard, your salt and pepper. Just whip that together with a whisk. Stir in your basil. And then all you have to do is mix everything up. Your salad blend, your pepperoncini, your olives, your pickled vegetables. The dressing goes right along with that. And you could just toss your cheese and salami in it if you wanted to. Just go ahead and do that. Or if you want to get really fancy, take your salami that you have there and sort of roll it so they look like little pinwheels. And you can put that in the salad, and it just gives it that little bit of a decorative touch. It's really good. But those flavors, and you might want to try different Italian meats. If you have a deli that you really like to go to, talk to the people behind the deli. Find out about the different meats. You could use roast beef, you could use chicken, you could do whatever you want, whatever your preference is. But this basic kind of a salad mixture with your red wine vinegar and your olive oil, which is very, very heart healthy, but it just seems to go. We Italians just absolutely love that. Well, how about topping it off with a dessert that is just absolutely going to blow everybody's mind, that they'll think you have spent all kinds of hours preparing, but it's going to be different. It's not going to be just an apple pie or a cherry pie. It's going to be a chocolate chunk apricot pie. Chocolate goes with just about everything, and I love chocolate. But this is so easy. What you're going to need is a package, an 11-ounce package of your pie crust mix. Get that at any store. You're going to need 6 cans of 15 1/4-ounce apricot halves, and you want to drain them. And then you're going to want to slice them up. That's 6 cans, 15 1/4-ounce each of apricot halves drained. And then you want 2/3 cup plus 1 teaspoon of sugar. 2/3 cup plus 1 teaspoon of sugar. And then you want 1/2 cup of semi-sweet chocolate chunks, 1/2 cup of semi-sweet chocolate chunks, 1/4 cup of cornstarch, 1/4 cup of cornstarch, 3/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 3/4 cups of, not cup, good Lord, you don't want a cup, you want 3/4 teaspoons of ground cinnamon. And this is what you do. You preheat your oven to 375. You want to put your baking sheet in the oven so that it's heated right to that temperature. And so it's just going to be perfect when you're ready to bake it. And then what you want to do, you want to prepare the pie crust. Get your ready-made pie crust if you want. If you don't want to make it, you can get them ready-made. And you want 2. And then you want to take on a floured surface, you want to roll one of those crusts into a 12-inch circle, obviously fitting it into the pie plate, and you want to let the dough over the edges, hang over the edges. Then you want your apricots that you've sliced, 2/3 cup of sugar, your chocolate, cornstarch, and cinnamon. You want to mix that all together in a separate bowl. And then you want to pour that into your crust in the pie pan. You take your remaining dough. You roll that into an 11-inch circle. Cut it into strips. And you want to make a lattice over your fruit. And, of course, you crimp the edges. And then the top, you want to put either a little bit of milk on there, depends on how you like your crust. You can brush a little bit of beaten egg, or you can just take a little bit of oil and just put a little bit of oil on the top crust there and the edges. And then you sprinkle it with that teaspoon of sugar, and then you'll put it in on that hot baking sheet, and you bake it for 1 hour and 30 minutes. Yes, this is something that takes time. 1 hour and 30 minutes. And if you find your crust is getting browned, put some little bits of aluminum strips around the edges so it'll keep them from getting too dark. And then let it cool. And you'll have a dessert that nobody will ever expect that was this easy to make, that it was going to be so deliciously flavorful. Add a little bit of ice cream, maybe some freshly whipped cream. Whatever is your preference, it would be a perfect dessert for a Sunday night to go right along with that delicious antipasto salad or with whatever you'd want to fix. Just remember, when you're fixing food, take time to just know that you're creating something that's going to make magic for the people that are going to be spending time with you. This is Donna Sebo, and I do want to let you know about my guest that's coming on tomorrow. Frances Yates is going to be the subject matter. She was a world-renowned scholar, and she chose a topic that not many people of her era would even dare to talk about. So she was a pioneer woman on so many levels, and she was recognized around the world for her scholarly research and knowledge. And it was all about the Hermetic tradition, which brought together much of the foundation for the understanding of metaphysics and history that we have today. So Marjorie Jones is going to be my guest. And then, next week, we're going to be talking about a love story on Monday. Michael Skovronsky is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about his book, Unforgettable. Teresa Tapp is going to be with me next week. We're going to be talking about a marvelous retreat that's going to be coming up. In fact, this microphone will be doing a broadcast live from Tampa, Florida. And we're going to find out how you can stay fit and fabulous and enjoy the process. And then we're going to be talking with Dr. Kenneth Condrell about what every parent needs to know about the unhappy child, and then stoking the creative. Phil Cousineau is going to be my guest. We've got a dynamic lineup of people, and I invite you to join me. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Donna Sebo here. Have a fabulous day. And remember, you're the one that can be as happy as you want to be if you live in the present right here, right now, enjoying and savoring all of the blessings that you have. See you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.